you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're studying 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, Paul is trying to reason with the Corinthians to accept him as an apostle and as a preacher of the gospel. They've been very contentious and have falsely accused him in many areas. In chapter 5, he told them that he was sincere in preaching to them, and a lesser man would have abandoned these rebellious people long ago. But Paul continues to try to reach them with his preaching. And if we had a theme for today's lesson, it would be possibly what Paul is asking. Why preach? It's clear that Paul's talking about his own ministry, but he's also speaking to those he ministers to and to the laymen of today who care about the gospel message. He gives 7 reasons of why he is preaching. In verse 1, he said because he's a working partner with God. In verse 2, he says because he felt the urgency of the hour that men are dying, lost without God. And in verse 3 and 4, he wants to turn men to Jesus Christ and not to himself. And in verses 5 through 10, he wants to show the cost of serving Christ so that we may be blameless in our service to him. And in verse 11 through 13, Paul has a personal desire for reconciliation with these Corinthians and to see them saved. In verses 14 and 15, he wants to encourage men to separate themselves from the world and from idols. In verse 16 to 18, he wants God to dwell with men, and he knows that God will not dwell with the lost. We're only going to comment on verses 1 through 13 today, but we'll finish verses 14 through 18 in the next program. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 6 in the New Living Translation and in the King James Version, and we'll comment on each verse as we go. In verse 1 in the King James Version, it says, "We then, as workers together with him," talking about Jesus, "beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, Matthew Henry says of this verse that we as believers must work. We must work for God and for his glory, for souls and for their good. We are workers with God. We're under him as ambassadors for his message. And if we are faithful, then our labor will not be in vain. The ministry of the gospel is a work in which every believer is supposed to be engaged, whether it's preaching, teaching, praying, giving, or witnessing. I had a dream once that I had a group of prisoners and they were in chains, and I brought them to the sheriff. I couldn't find the sheriff because he was out in the woods, just running through the woods. He wasn't available for the prisoners that I brought to him. We are all supposed to work together in perseverance, faithfulness, and diligence, in unity with one common goal, and that is the glory of God. Salvation is of the Lord, yet we are ministers in witnessing. And in this regard, we are workers together with him. We're supposed to be bringing the lost to Christ to be saved, and not just give lip service, or else our profession may be in vain. We are saved by grace. But it says here that it can be in vain if we don't serve the Lord diligently. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. If Paul would not have worked as hard as he did, the grace of God would still have been given to him. But in some measure it would have been given in vain because he's lost his reward. Grace is a free gift, but we are rewarded according to our works. Grace is not given because of works, yet it encourages us to work, so we don't say that work is unnecessary. God doesn't want us to receive grace and do nothing for the kingdom of God. He said, occupy until I come. So we work. But these Corinthians are telling Paul in so many words that we don't need you, Paul. We're doing fine without you here in this church. But in reality, they weren't doing too well at all. They were considered a worldly church with immorality, greed, pride, and many other problems. And Paul has reached out to these people at his own expense in love because he wants to give them the great riches of the gospel that will bring forth the righteousness of Christ in them. He wants them to be fellow workers with him in spreading this message. Also, Paul is talking about his ministry and what his goals are because the gospel message was in its infancy. And possibly these people thought that all he had to offer was big words. So he tells about his experiences and about his knowledge of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God that's in him that's manifested through healings and deliverances. And some of these Corinthians have been witnesses to the power of God in his life. In verse 2, he feels the urgency of the hour that men are dying, lost without God, because he says, for God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Paul is preaching a sermon to these people in this verse, in this letter. He's saying, now's the time for you to get saved. I've preached to you. I'm a worker for God, and it's time for you to be saved. Today is the time of salvation. Don't put it off any longer. And the Lord is telling us the same things. And we see troubles and trials all about us. How can we survive without the help of God? How can we make it without Jesus Christ and His love and His oversight over us? We must have the Lord, and we must be saved in this hour. And Paul is saying, I can assure you that if you will call on God, He will hear you. Now this is a quote from Isaiah 49, 7 and 8. The King James Version says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And these are the words spoken by the Father to Christ. I have heard thee, in Isaiah. It's a prophecy. He heard Jesus when he was on the cross as the Lamb slain from the beginning. And he heard him when he prayed for us in John 17. And he heard Jesus in the garden as he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he's hearing Jesus now at the right hand of the Father praying and making intercession for us that when we call upon him, he will hear us. It's a time accepted. That's a wonderful phrase. It's a time accepted. The Lord will not reject us. He will accept us. Now, Paul is talking in this chapter about preaching the gospel message. And you can't preach the gospel message without inviting the lost to be saved. He wants to turn men to Jesus Christ and not to himself. He says in verse 3, we try to live in such a way that no one will be hindered from finding the Lord by the way that we act, and so no one will find fault with our ministry. In verse 4, he says, in everything we do, we try to show that we're true ministers of God, and we patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We avoid actions that give offense. We avoid words or habits or conduct that might be a stumbling block to others to hinder the success of the gospel. And we know that our words can either hinder or lift up. That's especially true of ministers and teachers. There are people who are looking for an excuse not to serve God. And we don't want the devil to use us in hindering these people. We don't want to give them a reason to not serve God. Then in verses 4 through 10, he wants to show the cost of serving Jesus so that we may be blameless. Jesus told the disciples to weigh the cost of becoming his servant. The gospel's free, but the work to spread the gospel is costly. Because we know there were many martyrs among the apostles. Let's read the New Living Translation in 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10. In everything we do, we try to show that we're true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, been put in jail, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We proved ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, our sincere love, and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We faithfully preached the truth. God's power has been working in us. We have righteousness as our weapon, both to attack and to defend ourselves. We serve God where the people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters, he says. We're well known, but here we are just alive. We've been beaten within an inch of our lives, but we've not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. Now, Paul here sounds like he's asking himself the question, why am I preaching? They're calling me an imposter. They've lied on me. They accuse me of many things. And he's asking the question, why am I preaching? A true minister will be known for his watchfulness, guarding the pulpit and the assembly from error of doctrine or spirit. He's met with honor and he's met with dishonor, good reports and evil reports. He is abased and he's exalted. A true minister is a treasure given to the people. Paul said in one verse that ministers were a gift to the people. And we thank the Lord for them because they have given us the gospel message. In some cases, the minister is a man of great sorrow, like Jesus. He has to hear about all the problems of the congregation. He agonizes over people's sin and the unbelief of some. Yet he is rejoicing in the Lord because of the gospel message. And generally, most of God's ministers are poor in this world. but they are instruments of grace to make many rich spiritually. And they have left all to follow Christ, so they have little or nothing. Paul says he's in that condition, but he's been able to give away many riches. That's something to be poor and have nothing, but yet you give away riches. He's given away another man's goods. He's given away Jesus' goods. He's telling you about the treasures of the gospel and the kingdom of God that he gives away. There's no greater occupation than that of a minister, I don't believe, because they have the gift of life or death in what they say and do. They stand in the gap for many who are on the brink of destruction and rescues them by pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should hold our ministers up in prayer and pray that God will give them the strength and the wisdom to endure many of the hardships that they have to go through. Why did he preach? Because he loved souls. Paul had greater trials than most men. Most ministers have not went through what Paul went through. But in contrast, he had greater blessings than most men. He was caught up to the third heaven. God revealed the gospel message to him. Of all the apostles, Paul had the message in entirety. He knew it from beginning to end, and he concluded that we're saved by grace and not by works. Verses 11 through 13, he says, "Oh, dear Corinthian friends, we've spoken honestly with you, and our hearts are open to you. If there's a problem between us, it's not because of a lack of love on our part, but because you have withheld your love from us. I am talking now as I would to my own children," Paul says. "Open your hearts to us." He's trying to reason with these Corinthians. He has a personal desire to reconcile with these Corinthians. Have you ever tried to be reconciled to someone who has been offended because of something you had done or said? The things that you had said may not be wrong within itself, but they became offended. Perhaps you were telling them a truth of the gospel, as Paul is doing, and they became offended. It says in Proverbs that a person that's offended is harder to win than a city in battle. There's some of these Corinthians that Paul will never be able to win over to hear his message. He'll never be able to convince them that he's honest with them. They've had their mind made up. Why did he preach? That God might be glorified. I want to read you something from Max Lucado. This gives more insight than anything about why Paul chose to preach the gospel. He tells the story of a married couple who were missionaries. For 17 years, they served God in the Philippines. Martin and Gracie Burnham were dedicated to God's work completely. Their three children were born on the mission field. On May the 27th, 2001, while celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary at a beachside resort, Martin and Gracie were taken hostage by a militant terrorist organization with ties to Osama bin Laden. The captors chained the couple to guards, and they marched them through the jungles, and they rationed their food. They endured 17 firefights, and for over 400 days, they were either running for their lives or extremely bored. Their health deteriorated, but their faith remained strong. Martin told his wife, we might not leave this jungle alive, but at least we can leave this world serving the Lord with gladness. He had a premonition that he was going to die, and he wrote a farewell letter to his children. And on June 7, 2002, the Philippine Rangers attacked the terrorist camp, catching Martin and Gracie in the crossfire. One bullet entered her leg, and another took his life. She was left a widow, and we're left to wonder why. Max asked, is this how God honors His chosen? How do we explain such a tragedy? And we ask about Paul and all the things that he's gone through. And what about our own troubles? How do we explain what's going on in our life? The tension that's in our homes, the demands at work, the bills on our desk, or the tumor in our body. We aren't taken hostage, but we're taken aback sometimes by God's silence. He knows what we're facing, so how do we explain it? Can't the Maker of heaven and earth handle bad traffic that causes us to be late or prevent a bad marriage? Max asked. Well, of course He can. Well, Max asked the question, well, why doesn't He? God does let us endure the fruit of sin, but what about those who are serving Him? Bad things happen to them too. God has us in His sights, and He has a plan for our life. And sometimes pain is in the purpose. Our problems, struggles, heartaches point to one end, and that's the glory of God. He says, trust Me in your times of trouble, and I'll rescue you, and then you'll give Me glory. That's in Psalms 50:15. Now that's not an easy assignment to swallow, Max says. What about the blind man that was on the side of the road? The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned to cause this man to be blind? And Jesus said, no one sinned. He was blind for the glory of God, because you see Jesus healed him, and then glory was given to God. The disciples wanted to blame someone for such a raw deal. Jesus said it was so the works of God might be displayed in him. Max said he was looking around his office at the pictures on the wall. Metal frames displayed a picture of his loved ones and special treasures that he had on his wall. And he asked himself, what do the pictures on the wall have to do with the glory of God? Do you suppose that when this blind man was healed, it showcased the work of Christ? It's a frame that shows the power of God. The blind man was the frame in which Jesus' power was seen. It was the picture that all could see because God healed him and could praise God for his healing. He was born sightless to display heaven's strength. And what about the great miracle where he raised Lazarus from the dead? Could he have shown such a great miracle and give glory to God had he not died? And then Max asked, well, what about you and your struggles? Is God trying to point men to Him? Is He painting a picture? Is He trying to show the glory of God in your life because you praise Him in your troubles and your trials? And you give Him glory. That's what Paul is doing in this chapter today. He's saying, I'm preaching the gospel for the glory of the Lord. And my sufferings are only to show you the power of God that He has brought me through. Even though I have preached in weakness, His power has been shown. So when it seems that our prayers are not answered, don't think that God's not listening. Paul said in this chapter today that God was listening, that He heard our prayers. He may have a higher plan, but He wants us to know that He has heard us and He has given us salvation, the greatest answer to prayer that we could ever have. The Burnhams allowed God to use their suffering for His glory. And because of Martin's death, nations around the world heard the name of Jesus Christ. And millions saw the forbearing figure of his wife and heard a moving interview with his father who said God would get them through this. And every major network gave priceless minutes to the story of a man who loved Christ more than his life. And through the Burnham struggle, God was seen. And through Martin's death, God was seen. And through your troubles, your problems, and my troubles and problems, we pray that God will be seen in our testimony of Him to the glory of God. Isaiah 61:3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and that's the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Praise be to His name. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, help us not be weary in well-doing. Help us not be overcome with trials and troubles of life. But help us know that You have a greater plan for us, that You indeed hear us. You forgive our sins when we trust in You. And may we give You glory for all the things we say or do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we thank You for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
It's a heavenly place, and He's leading me inside.